I'm Lisa Davis. Welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM. April is National Autism Awareness, and this past April I interviewed amazing authors in the autism field. One of these amazing women who I interviewed was Areva Martin, who is joining us today to talk about her incredible organization, the Special Needs Network, Inc. Areva Martin, ESQ, a regular on the Dr. Phil Show, is a nationally recognized autism expert and the parent of an autistic child. She has counseled hundreds of parents of autistic children. A graduate of Harvard Law School, she is president and co-founder of Special Needs Network, Inc., SNN, a nonprofit launched specifically to support families with special needs children. Areva is also the author of the comprehensive and must-have book, The Everyday Advocate, Standing Up for Your Autistic Child. Areva believes that parents need to become activists for their children's rights to services and learn how to safeguard those rights both in school and in the larger outside world. Areva, welcome to It's Your Health on Thinking Out Loud on WUML 91.5 FM.
Thanks for having me back, Lisa. It's my pleasure to be joining you again.
Oh, Areva, I'm so happy to have you back on the show. And on your terrific site, Special Needs Network, you have a wonderful letter that you wrote. And in it, you talk about your son, Marty, getting diagnosed with autism at 2, and also some very troubling information. Quote, thousands of children with autism in disenfranchised communities of color fall into the cracks. Studies show that these children whose families live near or below the poverty line are diagnosed 3 to 4 years later than their mainstream counterparts. Children of color and poor children are also misdiagnosed at a higher rate than their mainstream counterparts. And Areva, I'm wondering, how does the Special Needs Network address these important issues?
We do a couple of things, Lisa. One of our main initiatives is raising awareness. We are so committed as a part of our mission, as a part of our many programs, to raising awareness about developmental disabilities in communities of color. So we're out in, you know, doing the work in the trenches, going to churches, going to community groups, trying to find where parents are, getting them information about, you know, what are the developmental growth signs that they need to be aware of. You know, what should children be doing at 6 months, at 9 months, at 12 months, so that kids that need help get identified early and get the help that they need. We know that if we can find kids at the earliest ages possible and get them interventions, that we can make a tremendous difference, you know, in their lives. We can get kids mainstreamed into their public schools. We can get them on track to go to college, to be gainfully employed, and to really live independent lives. And that's what it's all about, you know, improving the quality of life for children, all children, you know, no matter what their economic situation or their race.
That is so important. And do you have volunteers that help? I mean, because there's so many churches and so many groups and so many folks that need this information. How does that work?
We have hundreds. Thank God for that. we have been really successful in recruiting. And over the last year or so, using social media sites such as Facebook, and Twitter, we've been able to attract a lot of young people, which we're very excited about. So when we have some events and we have 18 to 25-year-olds out, a lot of students from colleges and law schools and graduate programs. So we work with, you know, a lot of youth volunteers as well as grandparents and other family members. But we've really taken advantage of the many social media sites out there to get the word out and to get folks involved.
And how's the response been from people that you've been talking to?
It's been amazing, Lisa. You know, what I find in doing the work that I do, and, you know, my daytime job, I'm a lawyer, and I find that when you do good work, people want to know about it and they want to help. They want to get involved. I'm a big Facebooker. So whenever I, you know, do anything with Special Needs Network, we just had a big ribbon cutting for our camp that we launched this summer. And I was fortunate enough to get CBS out, and they ran a piece on the camp. And so many of my Facebook friends, you know, reached out and said, hey, that camp looks amazing. How can we help? I have some time. I want to volunteer. You know, can we make donations? So I find when you just get the word out, people will come.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, you know, you just mentioned the Special Needs Network Camp, JPAC, that kicked off on August 2nd. And if you can tell us about it, what the ages are, some of the activities involved.
Yeah, Camp JPAC is this unique public-private initiative. And I'm really so excited about that because, you know, across the country, states are cutting budgets for health and human service programs. You know, as we are all dealing with this very difficult economy, so many of the programs that were targeted for children, particularly children with special needs, have been cut. And so right here in our own state of California, massive budget cuts eliminated social recreational programs for kids with special needs. And that bothered me as a parent, as a professional, as a community leader. You know, I just couldn't accept that thousands of kids weren't going to be able to participate in summer camp programs. So we created Camp JPAC, summer enrichment program to run the whole month of August. We couldn't take the thousands of kids that needed us, but we were able to enroll 200 children with a long waiting list, I must say, into this program. In the mornings, it's math, it's science, it's English, and in the afternoon, wonderful programs in arts, music, sports, dance, even theater arts. And staff, just an amazing staff of certified special education teachers, behavior specialists. And then another part of this public-private collaborative is we have 30 camp counselors, all youth who come to us from a program that's being funded by federal stimulus dollars. So this program is paying these young workers, many of whom, you know, this is their first job, and we are a designated job site. So we're giving them job training and experience, and they're getting, as a in exchange, an opportunity to work in the summer camp program. So that is, you know, what I'm so excited about. And then we got some money from our county, and then private philanthropists. So we have these private dollars, these public dollars, all going to work to ensure that 200 kids have this amazing experience. We have field trips, free lunch for kids, and this is all for kids who are pretty low income to moderate income. And a camp like this would cost upward from $250 to $500 a week, and we're able to offer it in the community where these children live for free, Lisa. I get excited when I say that.
Oh, right? I get excited. That's incredible.
And, you know, we cut the ribbon on it on, you know, a couple of days ago, and just seeing the faces of parents, you know, dropping their kids off, just so grateful for having, you know, a safe place, a nurturing place where their kids can, our motto is laugh, learn, grow, and share. And that's what these kids are going to have an opportunity to do for the entire month of August.
Oh, that is fantastic. And I know that some of the kids there are on the autism spectrum. What are some of the other issues that the kids might be having?
The kids are 5 to 16, and the kids aren't all special needs. Again, another unique aspect of this program is an inclusion camp. So 40% of the kids are typical kids. They are the siblings. They are the peers, the cousins. And then 60% have special needs, some cerebral palsy. Some kids have been diagnosed as mentally retarded. Some kids, of course, with autism. Some who are just developmentally delayed. Some kids have a learning disability. Some might have a speech delay. So a gambit of special needs. But then we have these peer models, these buddies. And so the typical kids are paired up with special needs kids. And it's a learning opportunity for both the special needs kids who can model their typical peers, and then for the typical kids to learn so much, you know, about kids with special needs. So
yeah, I was just thinking that it really is a learning experience for the both of them.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And even my own daughter, I have a daughter who's 12, in addition to my son, Marty, 11, and she's in the program, and, you know, she's a good gauge for me. So I'm like, how did it go, Morgan? What do you think? And she's like, Mom, it's really good. And so she was excited to be a part of it and to be there, not just only for her brother, but to meet so many of the other kids. So really good combination of, you know, kids all together, again, learning and sharing and growing in this very, very nurturing environment.
Oh, it sounds absolutely beautiful. Now, this is in L.A.?
Yes, it is. And this is our inaugural year. And, you know, we're hoping that this model of inclusion and this model of using public and private dollars, you know, can become a model that can be replicated throughout this country because, you know, with the state of the economy, no one's certain, you know, when some of these programs will come back, if ever. So people around the country have to get creative. You know, you have to get creative in your own community about how you can continue to meet the needs of kids, you know, but do it in a way perhaps, you know, that requires some thinking outside the box.
Okay. Now, if people want to donate to the Special Needs Network and also to the camp, is that something they can do?
Absolutely. They can go to our website at www.specialneedsnetwork.org. And on the site, there's a button that they can push to donate. On the site, they can learn more about Camp JPAC. And I have to say that the Camp JPAC got its initial seed money from the estate of a man named Joe Patton, and that's why the name is Camp JPAC after Joe Patton. And Joe Patton was dyslexic, and despite that, he went on to become a multimillionaire. And he, as he passed, he was, you know, he left money in his estate for organizations, and we were one of the organizations selected to receive a pretty large grant from him. And so it was really nice at the ribbon cutting to have someone from his family out talking about how excited Joe would be, you know, to see kids learning and growing in a camp program as a result of, you know, his hard work. And he didn't let his disability, his learning disability, stop him. He barely graduated from high school, but he went on to become a very, very successful businessman in the L.A. area. And like I said, he amassed a fortune over his lifetime and died about 5 years ago from cancer and left money to many, many programs to continue, you know, his great legacy of giving back. So we're really excited about that. And so many of us have an opportunity. In this camp, we had donors donating $20, $25, $50, you know. So just whatever people, you know, were able to do based on their own economic situation, you know, we greatly appreciate. And we've seen this outpouring of support from, you know, folks really all over the country. So we encourage folks to go to the website and www.specialneedsnetwork.org and just learn more about our programs and about, you know, how we're really trying to impact the lives of children.
Yeah, you do such amazing work, and I have to say, Ariva, speaking of learning more, I Googled you, and I love watching you and all the amazing things that you've done, and I found this article from DisneyFamily.com in Wonder Time, and it said, if you come to my house in June, we're going to listen to my Luther Vandross Christmas CD. It's Christmas all year round. I love Luther, so I'm wondering if I come next June, if I'll be
Absolutely. You know, we have to fight my kids a little because they go, Mom, it's here. We don't want to hear Christmas music. But, you know, there's nothing like Christmas music to me to just remind you and us, you know, about how blessed we are. And I just listen to it all year round. And so it just, you know, makes me happy. And so,
yeah,
yes,
I thought
Lisa,
that was
you can
fun.
Come to my house and listen to my Luther collection.
All right, Ariva, well, I want to thank you so much, and I encourage everyone to go check out the Special Needs Network and Ariva's fabulous work. And her book is phenomenal, The Everyday Advocate, absolutely a must-have. If you have a child on the spectrum, if you know someone's child on the spectrum, it's just so comprehensive and fabulous. And if people want to reach me, they can go to itsyourhealthradio.org. I hope everyone has a great day. Take care. Bye-bye.